Let's give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. Give it up for the Lord, give it up for the Lord. Hallelujah. This is day 91. You ought to give it up for him. Tell somebody I'm still here.
Still here.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Anybody glad to still be alive?
Yeah.
On this 91st day of the year.
Yeah.
2018. We could have been dead. Sleeping in our grave. But we're here. We're here. Another resurrection day. Yeah, yeah. He's worthy. He is worthy. Worthy of our praise. And he inhabits the praises of the saint. He deserves it and he desires it. Hallelujah. He does everything up for us. He just wants us to praise him for it. I know you think you done it, but it wasn't you. Hallelujah. It's the Lord. And this is another day the Lord has made. Our job is to do what?
Rejoice.
And be glad in it. Don't worry. All right. God got it. He got it in control. Hallelujah. Don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger. Everybody else is going through too. Hallelujah. Praise God. But God is there to take us through. If we just cast our care on him, everything will be all right. We'll give glory, honor, and praises to God our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has brought us together one more time. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, he didn't have to do it. I'm glad he did. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is one of the most important days of our lives. There are three major days in the year. The day he was born, the day he died, and the day he got up. If it wouldn't have been for those three events, we couldn't be here today. So we come to worship him. We come to praise him. Hallelujah. We honor God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To our presider, his guests. To Elders Green and Elder Swenson, who shares the roster with us, and to all other preachers in the house, we praise God for you. If you just wave your hand, every minister in the house. To all officers of the house of God. Praise God. Wave your hand. Everybody else is in the office of layperson. So praise God and praise for yourself. Everybody's special. Everybody's somebody. Everybody's important. Everybody's precious. And everybody that's saved is a royalty. Hallelujah. And if you're not saved, you can be royalty too. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because when Jesus died, he died for all. He didn't die for the good. He didn't die for the saints. But he died for the whole world. Hallelujah. And he wanted everybody saved. That's why he died. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody looks good. Hallelujah. And we ought to stop seeking out other people's opinions about how I look. Because they may not tell you what you want to hear. And then you be all upset with them. Because they answered the way they were feeling that day. And you thought it was all about you. All right. You can ask anybody how I look. Ask the Lord. How I look to you today, Jesus. And then if you're not coming up to his standard, you need to do something about it. Hallelujah. So please the Lord, we won't be before you very long. What time is it? Good news time. God's word is good news. And it's good news in this bad news world. Okay. I think Elder Spencer left me a corner. Okay. So our text today is coming out of the book of St. John, the 20th chapter. Beginning at verse 1. St. John 20, beginning at verse 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand here yielded, spiritual man, mental man, physical man. We count it all but done. And we cast them into your hands that you may use us for your glory and your honor and your praise. Send a word. A word of empowerment, a word of enrichment, a word of enlightenment. Send a word, peace and joy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Send a word, God. We need to hear from on high. Now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God say, amen. St. John 20, beginning at verse 1. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchrum, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchrum. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet when he not in, that went him not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a packed place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Tell your neighbor he got up. He got up. Jesus had a task to perform. He had a purpose for being here. And tell your neighbor, you do too. He didn't just make you just to make you. But when he made you, he had a purpose in mind. He had purposed it from the beginning of time. That at a certain time in history, you would arrive on the scene with a specific purpose of carrying out God's plan. Things happen to us because we need it in order to fulfill the plan of God. That's why we don't understand it, because we're looking for it to fit our needs, fit our concerns, and satisfy our desires. But you were not placed here for you. You were placed here for God, for his purpose, and for his glory. And since he's at the end of time, and he's here now, and he's still at the beginning of time, he's in all places, time zones, at all at the same time. So he already knows what tomorrow holds and all the tomorrows after tomorrow. He already knows what you will have to face and what you need to do. And so he has that in mind. And he's not going to allow anything to happen to you when he got something for you to do tomorrow. If anything does happen to you, it's to help you with tomorrow. Because everything that he has us to go through is not going to feel good to us. It's not going to be good to the physical person. But it's going to be good for the spiritual person. And if it's good for your soul, it ought to be good for you. Whether you realize it or accept it as being good or not, it is good for you. I just keep going back to Romans 8:28. And it may be because somebody hadn't caught it yet. This is a very important scripture to understand. And it's even more important that we apply it daily. We act like we don't know. We talk like we don't know. We even look like we don't know. But the word said, and you know. Touch the person that sits by you, say, you know. All right. You know, you just don't act like you know. Are they looking off? You know. You just don't want to do it. God got something for you on that side. But in between you and there may be a river. With the children of Israel, there was a Red Sea. There were some mountains. And I know somebody said, you don't have to climb the mountain, just speak to it. I get this clarification from that, when I read that. Jesus didn't say, speak to your mountains. We said that. And they're going to go. Jesus said, if you had the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you could. Say to the mountain, be thou removed, and go yourself into yonder sea. He said, he was pairing that to the power of faith. He didn't tell you speak to it. How are you going to go through something you speaking to all out of your way? How do you know God is a helper if you done moved the thing out of the way? How do you know he is the deliverer if you already moved it out of the way? You never have no trials, you never have no tribulations, yet you say, I know what the Lord, how do you know what the Lord would do? You never went through anything because you've been speaking it. And it's just you haven't even seen it. You don't even know what a mountain looked like. It's faith. And you know that some things, all things, well, he didn't mean this, did he? But this is a different occasion, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was like, God doesn't meant for me to go through that. But I heard him saying his word. There's no temptation overtaking you except that it's common unto man. And God will deal with it for you. He said that he won't allow it to come on you if you're not able to bear it. So if he didn't meant for it to come on you, it wouldn't have ever came on you. And we for a long while, somebody might be still doing it. We've been hiding behind that ain't got there yet. Mm-hmm. I know the word said out to love Elder Spencer, but I ain't got there yet. There's something about Elder Spencer that I just can't put my finger on. If Elder Spencer is at my door, tell your neighbor, honey, you there. Amen. It ain't coming on yet if you're not able to handle it. So if it came to your door, you are able. Tell your neighbor, you are able. And you know that. All things are working together toward them that love the Lord, and especially those who are called according to his purpose. Ask your neighbor, are you called? You've been called according for his purpose. Tell your neighbor, it's not yours, but his. Okay. You've been called for his purpose. You've gone through what you've gone through for his purpose. And you don't just go through it just to keep it to yourself either. You've gone through so others can gain hope through you going through. You didn't just keep it. He said, make known my doings amongst the congregation. That means, tell you that means testify. We stopped doing that, haven't we? And, but you know, the reason we have stopped doing it, the devil has slipped in and caused us to stop because people didn't like what you were doing. Amen. Every time you say they were up talking about it. Every time you get a chance to witness, they were up talking about it. Well, why do you get up? We are overcome by the testimony. When you can speak it, you can have it. When you can speak it, you will be delivered. You got to speak it into existence. Because the power of life and death lies where? In your tongue. All things are working together for them, the good of them that love God. Let me move on. I'm running out of my time. Jesus, we said, came for a purpose. And that purpose was to take away the sins of the world. Man had sinned, and man had messed up. The first man, Adam and Eve, were perfect people. Up until they disobeyed. And when they did, perfection left them because they started dying. They died right then spiritually. Because the lifeline with Jesus, with God, had been severed. He told them the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. So sin had taken over. But thank God for God. He already knew Adam was going to mess up. He already knew Eve was going to succumb to the serpent. And so God made the answer to sin before the world was made. God made an answer for sin before he said, let there be. God made the answer for our problem before we got the problem. Because he knew what the future holds. And just as he knew what he needed to satisfy the requirements for sin, he knows what you need. And the things you have to go through to get it. Sin multiplied. Kept getting more complex. So much so that God destroyed the first world. And repented he ever made mankind. But you were made for his glory. We disappointed him, but he got the glory from it. Because it got him the opportunity to show what a loving God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Tell somebody that God did it. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God made his Son Jesus to take away the sins of the world. God knows everything. He knows when, and he knows where. He even knows how to fix this problem for you. Well, time went on, 40 and two generations passed. And Jesus, the Son of God, came forth to a dying world and a sinful, hateful world. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Jesus did it. Yes, he did. And Jesus, hallelujah, came knowing that he's going to be rejected, despised of man. But he came to save us anyhow. Not that we deserve it. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We messed up, but God fixed us up. He cleansed us up. Yeah, Jesus came, hallelujah, to save us from our sin. They didn't accept him, although he's come to pay their price. We owe the debt we couldn't pay. Jesus paid the debt he didn't owe. And now we owe everything to him. Glory be to God. I can see him now by eye of faith as he grew up as a tender plant. He gave all that he had to be with us. Left his home and throne in glory to come to a dying world and a sinful and adulterous generation. He came with all power in his hand. He came to die for your sin and die for my sin. So one day, the church got together. The priest, the high priest, the chief priest, and the elders, all church people, got together, had a meeting. Hallelujah. And it was a meeting about Jesus. They're having a meeting about Jesus. But guess what? Jesus wasn't invited to the meeting. Yeah, glory be to God. And when they got together, they connived one with another. Hallelujah. Said, this man need to die. Can I have us? Hallelujah. The high priest said, if one person is better that one die, then the Romans kill all of us. So they set up to get rid of Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus done no wrong. Jesus knew no wrong. Jesus had no wrong. So they couldn't have any old witness come up. They had to have false witnesses. Glory be to God to condemn Jesus. At first, nobody would have anything to say. And then one said, hallelujah, I heard this man say, I'll tear the church down. In 3 days, I'll build it again. Yeah. And they said, now, what more do we need to hear? This man blasphemed. Hallelujah. And so now they take him, hallelujah, to Pilate. And Pilate, hallelujah, judged him, asking them questions. And he didn't answer. Pilate heard somebody say it was a Galilean. And so he sent it to Herod. And Herod, the king, or the governor, sent it back to Pilate. Pilate said, I don't find no fault. Bring me the water. Let me wash my hands. I'm not guilty of innocent man's blood. But Pilate was just passing on his responsibility. Hallelujah. He told Jesus, I had the power to crucify him. I had the power to set you free. But yet, he didn't use that power. He gave the power to the people out in the court. Hallelujah. Because he told them, I'm going to give it to you one free prison. Barabbas, who is a seditionist, a murderer, or Jesus, the one you call your king, king of the Jews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I see him now. He passed it on, but he could have set him free. But I'm so glad, I don't know about you, I'm glad that he didn't pass it, that he didn't set him free. I'm glad, hallelujah, he passed it on. You see what we're talking about? You were born for a purpose, hallelujah, and that was his purpose, to pass Jesus to the crowd, hallelujah, praise God. And knowing that the church has already condemned him. Yeah. And convicted the people. Because just a few days early, he came into town. We call it Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. And they cried out, Hosanna. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. And now it is 4 days later. Hallelujah. They're crying out, away with him, away with him. They cried out, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Somebody's crying out, away with Jesus. Give me the world, away with Jesus. Give me the world, hallelujah. Crucify him, I don't need him. I got this, I got that. I got this, I got that, away with him. But I want you to know, you don't have nothing without Jesus. You don't have nothing that he didn't give it. Cause the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. Now, Jesus been led from hall, judgment hall, to judgment hall. But let me get back. Some people throw in the towel because they can't get along. With other people. And the main reason they can't get along, main purpose they can't get along with them, they're church people. They're expecting church people. Now I said church people. I didn't say saved people. They're expecting church people to cross every T, dot every I. They're expecting church people to do good, be perfect, make no mistakes. Hallelujah. And when the church person do you wrong, the devil tell you don't have nothing else to do with them. The devil tell you stop even going to church. The devil tell you you don't have to go to church. You can get it off the TV. But the word still stands. Forget not to assemble yourself together. And don't come together as most people just come together just to get together. But come together for the purpose of uplifting one another. Come together with the purpose of praising God. Come together with the purpose of worship. So we stop doing. But if a sinner was doing that to you, how would you feel then? It wouldn't even faze you. Well, why do you let the saint get you all upset? Jesus wasn't upset with the chief priests. That's like the bishops, I guess, or apostles. The high priest has been like the Pope. The elders, the head of the church, and the congregation that holler at crucify him, that's the whole church. He didn't get upset with them because they did all that to him. Because the devil knows who to use. He's not going to send his professed agents one you already know about. He ain't gonna send them. Because it ain't gonna mean nothing to you. But he's gonna send the one you got some faith in. And your faith's supposed to be in Jesus. It's all right to look at me to find Jesus. But once you found him, you're supposed to stop looking at me and follow Jesus. I'm the light that led you to Jesus. But Jesus is the brighter light. He'll lead you to glory. So he uses saints. He uses church people to combat church people. Iron sharpens iron. Okay. See, that's why he don't use the devil. Because they ain't gonna work. He had to use saints. Against saints. So, a lot of times, the church may have been here, but we're still down here. Okay. Because we are looking at each other and not the Lord that's in us. And he needs you to get that out of you so that you can see things from his perspective. Stop looking at it from ours. But let me get on so I can get out of here. Jesus was given the cross. And he gave him the cross, he was carrying this cross. And then there were Simon that was coming out of town. When they saw him, by the way, I'm told that he was a black man. They took the cross from Jesus and laid it on his shoulder. Hallelujah. Jesus was bearing our cross because he had done no wrong. The man that sentenced him to death said he ain't done nothing wrong. And we'd be wondering, what have I done that this has happened to me? You've done nothing but be here. It's happened to you because God needs it to happen to you. To mold you and to shape you to the vessel that he needs you to be, because you got a gift and he got to get that gift out of you. And so, he carried the cross because we got a cross to bear too. But they nailed him, Jesus, to the cross when they got the God got the heel. Imagine seeing the spike going through the palm of his right hand. Now, when you just stick a little old needle in your hand, you have some excruciating pain, right? But think about this. This was not just a little needle. These were some big nails. And it didn't go through with one lick. They had to bang it in. And then they take the other side and bang it in. And then they put his feet together and rolled the nail through those that normally would just tie him to the cross and hang him up. But for Jesus, they grew nails in his hands and feet, hung him on the cross, and he was doing it all for us. He done no wrong. Never sinned. Because it took the perfect person to take away the sins of the world. The blood of goats and bullocks and turtledoves wasn't working. Because I had to repeat it over and over again at the time of the Passover. And this was Passover time. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb at the Passover for us. They had put a throne, a crown of thorns of briars around his head and called him King of Kings, King of the Jews. Written in Latin and Hebrew and Greek. Put it over his head. The chief priest wanted to say, not, don't write that. Write that he said that he would. And Pilate answered, said, what I've written, I have written. Meaning they ain't going to change it. Hallelujah. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. Now, while he's on the cross, another soldier pierced him in the side. And blood and water ran out of him. It was that blood. That paid the price. Because without the mission of blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus' blood cleanses us. While he's on the cross, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, the sun refused to shine. It was darkness covering the earth for 3 long hours. From 12 o'clock our time to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was dark. Couldn't say it was an eclipse because our eclipse don't last that long. And at that, Jesus, around the 6 hour, said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, oh, Eli, oh, lama sabachthani. What I just said earlier. Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken? That's the pain and agony he was going through, that he was thinking that the Father had forsaken him. He hadn't forsaken me, he just didn't look on him. Because at that time, sin was being betrayed. He was dying and taking away our sin. And then orders were given to break the legs so he could die before the Passover gets started. They broke the thief on the right and on the left. Leg. When it came to Jesus, he was already dead. But Jesus had cried out prior to the end of the darkness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, into thy spirit, right after he said what I said about Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He said, into thy spirit. I commend my spirit. And with those words, he said, it is finished. Hung his head and gave up the ghost. And the centurion, the witness, said, surely this man was the Son of God. Hallelujah. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. Borrowed because it was somebody else's tomb. Never nobody had laid in it. And then he didn't need it but 3 days. But early on the third day morning. Hallelujah. I've been in the tomb Friday, Saturday, now Sunday, first day of the week. You got it? And angels rolled back the stone from the door. Jesus got up and walked out of that grave. Jesus got up, asked the grave, where's your victim? Asked death, where's your stain? Behold, I come up, all power is in my hand. All power.